social media.
Well, it's been a week for it. So much has happened on the socials. Let's have a good hard look at social media, reviewing the top trends from her feed this week. We have Behind the News presenter Ruby Cornish. Yay, Ruby, welcome.
Hello, thank you. Great to be here.
Let's go trackside to begin. This is a remarkable little tale, very Australian tale. A court case that stopped the nation. Sportsbet
v.
the Batuta Advocate.
This was a hilarious one. And for anyone that doesn't know the Batuta Advocate, it is a fake news site that writes very hilarious articles, sometimes just headlines, and they make fun of anything.
It's a fake site.
People have been taken in before many times.
What did they do around the Melbourne Cup? I did see something.
Yes. So this was a bit of a tragic story for Sportsbet, as many punters would know. On Melbourne Cup Day, the app crashed and was not usable, which is, you know, it failing at the one time of the year it should absolutely be working.
Top marks.
So that made it, you know, quite embarrassing for Sportsbet, but obviously perfect fodder for someone like the Batuta Advocate. And so the Batuta, you know, went to town on them pretty quickly, posting that photo of, you know, the dead horse that was actually Sportsbet.
Cliffs of Moher sadly departed.
Yes, that's right. And then this letter sprung up, which I think a lot of people believed was real. It was a cease and desist letter from Sportsbet to the Batuta, in the same breath saying, you know, please take it easy on us, we've had such a hard week, and then threatening legal action over the use of the trademarked term BS. And the funny thing was,
BS, that's good.
Yes, and people, I have to say, including me, totally fell for it and thought that this was a genuine letter from Sportsbet.
How did Batuta advocate respond to it?
Well, the Batuta, turns out, had probably written it. And so it was, that was actually satire within satire. And so, whoops, people were having a go at Sportsbet after this, believing that it was a real letter. But Sportsbet, you know, they took the joke well and they tweeted out, this is one of your best pieces of satire yet, to the Batuta.
Because Sportsbet's public presence, despite the being an industry which extracts millions of dollars from the unfortunate every year, is to be quite funny. I mean, their TV ads and stuff are amusing. They seem to be good time people.
Yeah, you'd think that people who work at Sportsbet are the same kinds of people who would enjoy the Batuta Advocate. You know, they really, they have that larrikin sense of humour, which in retrospect is obvious. Like, their legal team wouldn't have jumped on this in the way that they were shown to.
I mean, they're both staffed by money-hungry crypto capitalists, I understand. That's makes perfect sense now. Slightly more serious on the world stage now. Let's go to Washington, and I don't know, I mean, if people have been under a rock for the last couple of days, here's a pretty remarkable post-midterms exchange between President Trump and CNN's reporter Jim Acosta.
Mr. President, if I may ask
Peter,
one other question, are you worried?
That's enough. That's enough.
Mr. President, I was going to ask one of the other folks.
That's enough.
Pardon me, ma'am.
That's enough.
Mr. President, I had one other question, if I may ask, on the Russia investigation. Are you concerned that you may have—
I'm not concerned about anything with the Russian investigation because it's a hoax. That's enough. Put down the mic.
Mr. President, are you worried about indictments coming down in this investigation?
I'll tell you what, CNN should be ashamed of itself having you working for them. You are a rude, terrible person. You shouldn't be working for CNN.
Now, Ruby, we may have to describe for people what's going on there, because the action is critical to what followed.
It is indeed. This was quite an exchange. Trump, as you can hear, didn't really seem to be keen on answering these questions from Acosta. But what has the internet talking is the vision of Acosta and the White House intern who approached him to take the microphone away from him. You know, as Donald Trump said, enough, I don't want to answer any more questions. She went to grab the mic, and Acosta moved his hand away from the intern in order to keep hold of the microphone. And that couple of seconds has been played and replayed a million times on Twitter since it happened.
Yep.
But what makes it controversial is that Press Secretary Sarah Huckabee Sanders shared a version of that video that turns out to actually have been doctored in order to speed up the moment that the hand is being moved, which makes it look like a more aggressive action than it maybe otherwise might have been. That's right.
And do we know where that sped up doctoring was done?
Well, this is sort of an open question as well. The very notorious InfoWars also share the doctored version of the video.
Yep.
But it's not clear who doctored it and at what stage that happened. But the fact that it was shared by, you know, Sarah Huckabee Sanders is what is making people upset. And also the fallout, which was that that video was used, or that action was used, as a justification to take away Acosta's White House press pass.
Yeah, well, let's hear how he responded to that.
This is Jim Acosta. I am in front of the White House. A Secret Service officer is asking for my hard pass. Obviously, no hard feelings to the officer, but I am now giving my hard pass to the Secret Service.
I mean, it's a pretty remarkable turn of events, isn't it, Ruby, that a senior White House reporter kicked out of the White House for asking, I guess, tough questions of the president. But I mean, it's quite a kerfuffle, and the president was clearly not best pleased by Mr. Acosta's performance in the room.
Well, and you can see why it has people riled up, because it's, you know, basically, I think the way some people see it is it's this fake video that's being used as a justification to remove someone from the White House just for asking some tough questions.
But this is the nature of social media too, isn't it? That, you know, various people who will see only one version of it and won't see the accusations of fakeness. They'll be utterly convinced by what they see. You can speak to your silo and convince them entirely.
That's it. And it can be, you know, speeding up a couple of seconds, or it can be cutting out the first half of a quote, you know, to take away all the context. These things happen all the time, and people think that because they're seeing it and hearing it that they can believe it. But I guess this brave new world we're living in, you really can't necessarily.
Well, the brave new world is that we have senior people in the White House in Washington promoting doctored videos to support their removal of reporters from the White House, which, I don't know, it's a bit of a turn of events.
It's a little bit scary.
Yes. Okay, let's, a bit of wordplay now. This is the New York Times, and they've just stretched their vocabulary.
This is probably my favourite Twitter bot, and bots are just Twitter accounts that post automatically. And the New York Times has a bot that posts to Twitter whenever a word appears in the New York Times for the first time ever.
How nice.
It's very funny because you get to see all kinds of weird things pop up, and sometimes they're just typos. Sometimes you get like new pop culture stuff and new words that are, you know, exist thanks to the internet. Like I saw subtweeted a while ago, cyber fights. And there's also weird nonsense words that really should not have gotten past the editors, like non-investigatory and weird things like that. It's a lot of fun though.
Okay. So what's the word in question that caught your eye this week?
Well, the one that I was very entertained by was this week the bot tweeted out the word "whomst," which is whom with an S-T on the end, a W-H-O-M-S-T. It's not actually a word in the dictionary, but for anyone who's into kind of internet culture and memes, it's pretty funny because the word "whomst" is actually a meme and it's been around for a while. It's basically a made-up word that makes fun of people who are trying to sound fancy and sophisticated. So instead of saying who, they say whomst. And there's also a longer version of it, which is whomstative, which is, I guess, short for whomst should have. And, you know, people just use it as a joke to when they're trying to sound fancy and they're not. So it was very entertaining for me to see that pop up on the New York Times, which is obviously, you know, a very serious institution, and they're using the word whomst.
There are some wonderful sort of botty apps around the New York Times. I wonder if they're all of the paper. There's another one which is Editing the Grey Lady, which shows changes in headlines and abstracts from edition to edition, or, you know, through time on the website of the New York Times, which is a really interesting thing, the way, you know, a few words change and you see these things and how the sort of twists and turns in a story. It's a bit meta, isn't it, really, this sort of examination of media entities.
The people out there as well on Twitter who, they're not bots, but they they spend all their time telling you, you know, there's one that I love. It's someone who just takes all the clickbait headlines and spoils them for you in a tweet.
Hoomst might do that.
You want to read it because it's a clickbaity headline, yeah. But you don't want to click on it and actually read it because you know you're going to be disappointed. So this very clever person out there just sums up the article for you in 10 words or less, and you don't need to click the headline anymore. There's
a great local one of that called Mamma Mia spoilers, because that's their sort of trick and trade, is to, you know, dangle those things before you. Don't read it. Just look at this. We'll explain it all. We'll spoil it.
Yes, exactly.
Ruby, thank you. Lovely week in your feed.
Oh, thank you very much.
Ruby Cornish is a presenter on Behind the News.